All right, good evening. Second Timothy chapter 3, Dialects of the Prophet, series 6. I want to think. This particular series will open our eyes to a lot. I really want to focus on some motifs and see how we can progress from there. It's going to set a tone for your basic understanding of theology. And how you're to respond. But we'll see all of that as we move. Psalms 43:15. You know the scripture. And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scripture, looking for it in my notes, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. From a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Like I said earlier, we are looking at Daniel the prophet again. Our focus is going to be on the power of God. As you know, the theme for this year is the great power of God. We're looking at that in the prophets. But I think and I perceive so much that there's a lot for us to uncover in the Exodus story. A lot of questions that we ought to answer. Okay, so Paul says to Timothy, from a child, you have known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And I said to you, I've said to you before, that means the Scriptures have a definite purpose. It's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. It has a definite purpose. That means that when you carry the Bible, it is a book with a bias. That means this book already has its own bias. It has the people it speaks about. It has the topic it speaks about. It's not going to cover everything. It says, you have known the scripture. It's able to make you wise unto salvation. Say salvation. So that means when I carry my Bible, of course in this instance, it's talking about Genesis to Malachi. When I handle Genesis to Malachi, the first thing that should occur to me is that this book is for what? Salvation. The people who wrote it have no other intention. I'm saying it again. They have no other intention than salvation through faith in Christ. Now, you might not be able to see the word Christ in their writings, but it will be scattered all over. If you are not just coming to this series, that should not be a new thing. That's why it's a series. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five, where we have looked at this very well. So meaning that Isaiah is writing and his sole intention is about what? Salvation. Now that salvation is going to come through the Christ. Don't forget the last series where we looked at the Jesus of Nazareth. Remember? You know, we're able to look at that word soteria, ek, pistio, and Christos. Jesus. Have it? Okay, it wasn't here. It's just to put everything together. We looked at that salvation that is true faith, and we're able to point out that there will be two characters. The Roman label and the Jew. Right? The Jew will own Christ, the anointed one. The Roman will own what? The sota, right? Hold that somewhere. Alright? So we said it's a book with a bias. You know, you don't carry your chemistry textbook. How many of you were in science class? You studied chemistry. MCN. Oh, Joy, what class were you in? Commercial. That's unbelievable. I thought you were in science class. But did you raise your hand? Okay. So, if you were in, you had a chemistry textbook, Babio, Abby? Roman's voice is the loudest. Alright, you had Ababio. Now imagine you carry Ababio and someone is asking you, what is the rate of deflation in the market? You are going to look at the person and say, I said deflation. Inflation, rather. And he said, give me stock patterns. So I don't know what I'm saying, sir. I'm just trying. Give me, but there are stock patterns, yeah? I need it. So give me stock patterns. And you know the first thing you are going to ask is that, see the textbook in my hand though. So check it now. check it. The test book cannot be this big and not show you stock patterns. No. It's a chemistry test book. Is it making sense? What you are going to find there is hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, that's it, right? Boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon. Is it neon? Okay. I forgot it. So, that is what you are going to find in the chemistry textbook. If you carry an economics textbook, or French textbook, I bought my French textbook when I was in GS3. I hated it. My French are my music textbook. It's funny, when I tell people I bought my music textbook, they always look at me. The man will just come to class and be saying, Semi, Demi, Quaver. Demi, Semi, Demi, Emi, Femi, Emi, Quaver. I don't understand it. Exam, I'll just write the one that comes to my head. Demi, Emi, Semi, Emi, Femi. the man called me, he said, you intentionally don't want to know this subject. And I will take it up with your guardian. It was boarding house. So when the opportunity came to just drop it like this, that was the first thing I seized the form for French. And I bought the book, one yellow textbook like that. So imagine I'm carrying a French textbook and you're asking me, Fari away, ni Yoruba. Now, if you don't understand Yoruba, what I just said is, finish this proverb. Ah, you will tell the person, it's French, oh. C'est me, demi, 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 demi. Monsieur la maman, quoi, fefefe. Because it does not answer for English. It doesn't answer for another language. It is a French textbook. When you take your Bible, it's a salvation textbook. It is not a book that answers all the issues of life. So that you don't end up like Paul's audience. The people that Paul spoke about in Acts 13, but we're going to look at that. Paul is telling Timothy, he's writing Timothy and says, from a child you have known the Holy Scripture and is able to make you wise. We're going to look at that word. The word known means to is the word eido in the Greek. E-I-D-O. E-I-D-O. Eido. It means to properly see. To see something for what it is. To see something for what it is. You know, there are some guys that behave like girls. But if we see them for who they are guys. Amen. You call them senior man. You might act all girlish. Whatever that means. That someone is acting girlish. I used to have a friend that used to walk like this. We took away that walk physically. Every time he's doing that catwalk, my bam blue. Walk like a man. So I'm walking like a man. And he's like, he's twisting. And he started having hips. So, you know, friends now, when you already have an opportunity to beat someone. Even when he's not walking like this. You know. But we are seeing him for who he is. Edo. Edo means you are going to see something that this is it. Paul says, Timothy, if you look at the scriptures and properly see it, if you properly see it, what you will see is salvation through faith. What does that mean? If I see any other thing, listen very well, I'm not seeing well. I don't know, that's how I just said that. So, the proper appraiser, the proper review, the proper acknowledgement of the Bible will help you to see that it is a book engineered towards salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? So, that is the very foundation of Bible study. I must know what it is for. If I want to study a chemistry textbook, the first foundation is I must know that it's a chemistry textbook. At the end of this textbook, I'll become a chemist. Or a lab technician, or whatever. I'm going to know how to mix elements, to mix gases. I'm going to know what is gaseous, what is liquid, what is solid. I'm going to know metallic, I'm going to know, what they call this one, those titanium and, is that? Radioactive. I'm going to know radioactive element. There's one I want to mention. Rare gas or rare metal? Rare gas. Anyone? Y'all know that when I'm done with the chemistry, those are the things I'll be able to know. If I'm done with the chemistry, and I say, oh wow, how blessed can a man speak in tongues? Ask me, who is supplying the weeds? Amen. Amen. Someone finished this technique and say, ah, shut, I just want to pray in tongues. Ah. Oh, demon. Amen. Because what he just read was not Corinthian. So, it's a book with a bias. All the writers had the same intention, salvation through faith, which is in Christ. And Paul is telling Timothy that. And I think that's one of the major steps you must take in discipleship. For every disciple, you must make them know the purpose of the book they are holding. It's not a book that answers all the issues of life. Have you heard that before? Don't say, I know the Bible, it has all the answers to every question. It's a lie. Why didn't you read the Bible for your call to bar exam? And see whether you pass. Why didn't you read the Bible for your final professional exam in medical school? Because it's not the book that has all the answers. Sorry. Why didn't you read it when you were reading for exam? Except you search for CRS. Even if you search for CRS, you might fail. Then by the time they ask you, who is the son of David? And you write Jesus. But they want Solomon. You know that there's a problem. And you are right. Amen. Who is the son of David? And say, the son of David according to the flesh, Jesus. He said, oh God, Nero. According to the flesh, Solomon. And he said, no. He said, even if you don't say Solomon, Absalom, who is Jesus? So, I think there was someone, one time, wanted to write CRS exam, I don't know. Maybe here. I said, please. He just writes everything they taught you. Don't go and write Daniel prophet there. So, Paul is telling Timothy his disciple. You make that known in discipleship. That the Bible is not an all-purpose book. It is salvation specific. So he says, you have known the Holy Scripture. It's able to make you wise. The word wise, there's the word sophizo. S-O-P-H-I-Z-O. S-O-P-H-I-Z-O. Sophizo. It means to craft. To make something up. To make something up. You find it used in 2 Peter 1:16. These are the teachings that make you a proper Bible student. We thank God for the 5 series past and for the many more in front. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Now, Peter is letting you know that they are not following Jesus because they crafted a story. No. He's saying, we saw him on that mount. But that's not the reason why we're writing to you. We're writing to you because the prophet spoke about him. Alright? That's why I said, we are not following cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power and the coming. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory. There came such a voice from heaven and glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven which we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have a more sure word of the prophets. Whereunto you do well to take heed. As unto the light that shines in the darkness, unto the day dawn and the day star rising. What's he saying? He's saying, even if we did not hear that voice, we have a more sure word of the prophets. The prophet spoke about this. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. That word devised is sophism. Something that is crafted. Have some people lied to you before? You say, Dao. As I now entered, the trailer just came. On top say you no come for prayer meeting. Don't worry. There's no need to wish trailer on yourself. As the trailer just came, I said, no, Holy Ghost, take control. Holy Ghost, take control. Pastor, you cannot believe it. He just brushed our boss. The boss just went down. In fact, he just took where I'm just coming from. Okay? Cunningly devised tables. Amen. Peter said, we have not crafted this one out. So, if you take that back to Paul's writing, he says, from a child you have seen properly the Holy Scriptures, right? And what they will do is that they will help you to devise very well salvation. So what do I come out with when I am a good student of the of Genesis to Malachi? I come out with a skill that can explain salvation through faith in Christ. Does that make sense? I don't come out with courses. You know, people finish Bible and what they have learned is the half courses that Deuteronomy 28. Some people come out and they come out with prayer points. That's fine. Some people come out and they come out with whatever. Paul says, when you see properly what God wants you to see in Genesis to Malachi, what you come out with is salvation through faith. I don't know how many times you can say this, but it's going to be, is the basis. The moment you grab this one with both hands, you are a proper Bible student. So that means I begin to see the events, listen very well, because this foundation is very important. I begin to see the events in the light of salvation. So the knowing of the scripture is able to make you craft out salvation, not the issues of life. So, because some people come out with something else from the Bible. How can someone say that God has sent him? I saw this on Facebook. Very, nice place for you to share your devotionals. And the person wrote, he said, Paul, apostle to the uncircumcised. Peter, apostle to the circumcised. Then he wrote his own name. He even put pastor. And he put Paul and, no pastor. Paul, apostle to the uncircumcised. Peter, apostle to the circumcised. Now wrote P something. He didn't like pastor because it's P, maybe it's a PS. The power executive. PlayStation. PFM. P is own. Apostle to the marketplace. Ubolo theory. How did you come about that? There is nobody in the entire Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that suggests that. How can you be done reading the Bible and what you come out with is candles? And how you are going to build a place. How can you finish reading it? And what you come out with is that you don't wear shoes again. Moses did it once. After that time, he wore shoes. So that's the irony of his story. He put off his sandals in Exodus 3. And after that time, he wore sandals. What happened to your own? That you took Exodus 3 and Exodus 3 was eternal. Some, when they are done, they begin to see regalias. Paul tells his disciple, when you are done seeing it properly, what will you bring out? The church is quiet. What will you bring out? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Does that make sense? So it's a salvation-centered book. And that will pose a lot of questions to us. Some we have already answered over the years. I want to believe we have answered a lot of questions in this series. Right? A lot. And we are on the course to answer another. You can't be asking wife of Cain by now. Amen. That is a very dumb question. Don't forget, it's a salvation-centered book. It's stock market in the chemistry textbook. Amen? That's asking for wife of Cain. Does that make sense? Stock market in the chemistry textbook. That's asking for wife of Cain in the Bible. She has nothing to do with salvation. But there are other events that also don't have to do with salvation and they are there. We'll see. Some have said that they love contradictions. And I really want to say that's even what brought about this series some years ago. About 9 years ago now, I started studying for this and putting them in place to be taught. And one of the things that pushed it is someone said there are a lot of contradictions, which on the surface, are you listening to me? On the surface, they are contradictions. But when you look at it properly, there are no contradictions. There might be excesses. There might be needless conversations, but there are no contradictions. I remember asking the person, I said, the contradictions, have you read the book? You cannot read a page and another page and tell me there are contradictions. What of the in-betweens? You cannot pick Samuel and go to Matthew and tell me there are contradictions. What happened to Chronicles? What happened to Nehemiah? What happened to Isaiah? What happened to Jeremiah? What happened to all the books in between? And in this series, we will be looking at a lot of contradictions, as it were, and hopefully answering most of them. Hebrews 1. You learn something? I'll put us in the second gear now. Hebrews 1 verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the worlds. He is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. When by himself poured our sins, and sat on the right hand of majesty on high. God, who has sundry times, verse 1, and in diverse manners, spoken unto the fathers by the prophet. The word sundry times is the word polumeros. P-O-L-U-M-E-R-O-S. Polumeros. P-O-L-U-M-E-R-O-S. Sundry times means at different ages. Yourself and your great-grandfather were at sundry times. Does that make sense? You came at various times. No matter how much you say blood is thicker than water, you don't know him. If he comes back now and you meet him on the road, you are going to walk fast. Amen? I think even my grandpa probably I walk fast. I don't think I recognize him like that. Don't blame me. The man was already old before I grew up. It was already old. Yeah, just picture I saw. So, we came at different times. So, listen to what Hebrew is saying. God at different times and with diverse manners, polytropos. P-O-L-U-T-R-O-P-O-S. Polymeros, polytropos. Polytropos means with various methods. So let's put it in modern day English. God, who at different ages and by different methods spoken to us by the prophet. Does that make sense? I'll say it again. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at hundred times and never spoken to us, spoken unto the fathers by the prophet. Mm-mm. Who spoke to the fathers? The prophet. Abi? Alright, good. So who spoke to the prophet? Eh? So, God, who at different times, got it, spoken to us by who? Who spoke in where? Diverse manners. Should we go by the right here? The prophet, who spoke in diverse manners? God or the prophet? That's easy to understand. You have been following. Abel, what city was that when we talk about the hypodegma? You are already a pastor now. You already know this. Eh? Hypodegma. Don't worry, we don't know this series. So let's just move. When we talk about hypodegma, the show of faith. Abi? When you show your faith. And we saw how different prophets at different times showed their faith. Abel will bring a lamb and offer as an offering. Noah will build an ark. Abi? Abraham will offer his son. Who else? It's me. I've mentioned Noah. Moses will build the temple. Moses will build the temple. Hosea will use the prostitutes. Isaiah will speak to the nation. So, in different manners. At the point they had judges. At the point they had the kings. Are you getting what I'm saying? In different manners, every prophet communicated God's plan at different times. That's Hebrews 1:1. They did not all just use the same method. Not everybody was bringing a sacrifice. No. Thanks. Who was the sacrifice? David used prophecy. Moses used the temple. Abraham used his song to communicate God's plan. That is polytropos. So, we see there are different manners, there are different methods in different ages. But, he said, in this day, God, verse 2, God has spoken to us by what? His son. So, all the prophets communicated in their polymeros, and their polytropos, they are different, with their different methods, at different times, they communicated God's plan. What was God's plan? Hebrews 1:1-2. What was God's plan? His son. So, listen very well. That means as I'm reading the prophet, listen very well. What should I be looking out for? His son. Thank you. So, will I have a lot of stories surrounding that might not bring? Yeah, exactly. But I must keep my eyes on the ball. The son is the cocoa. What's the cocoa now? The son is the substance of their writing. He's the real deal. And that's why Paul would earlier tell Timothy, be eager to show yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be eager, study to show yourself approved. I already converted to Greek in my head. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We already saw this one in series 1. We already did this one in series 1. Tell me what you say. Where he says, as a man of God, what you must do in teaching is that you must rightly divide. Say rightly divide. You see people rightly divide. Rightly divide is not like this. It doesn't mean you are not like bread. We are breaking bread. We are rightly dividing. Rightly dividing is the word autotomio. O-R-T-H-O, the way you have orthopedics. T-O-M-E-O. Auto. Tomio. T-O-M-E-O. Now, that is the approach of study of the Old Testament. Let us go to the Old Testament for the finish of this teaching. Autotomio means, and I remember that year I used the analogy of a surgeon. If you want to perform surgery, let's say surgery. Some of you, you probably have not seen surgery done before. How many of you have seen surgery done before? You were there. What did you want to do there? Your hand. They didn't have anesthesia for you. They use anesthesia. And you saw it. How? And you use anesthesia. That was the fruit juice. Anesthesia, you will be gone. You know, surgery that they are opening someone up. You have to value me in medical school, a medical doctor. Now, imagine someone wants to do surgery. They want to do CS, for example, a cesarean section. The person says, the baby is inside. Say, let's bring him out. Say, the issue is that I have one hammer. Then I have, let us use our majare. I have knife. The cocoa is to bring out the baby. What do you do? What will happen at the end of the surgery? You have two dead bodies. Probably three. by the time the husband catches the doctor. you don't perform surgeries like that. Surgeries are performed in a way that you don't damage both what you want to bring out and where you are bringing it out from. That is autotomio. That is rightly dividing. Where is also used for miners. When they want to mine gold or any good mineral, what they do is that they first take a survey of the place, look at the land quality, look at whatever they always look at, all these geophotogrammetric people. And then they map out that place, put a caution sign around. You understand what I'm saying? Then they begin to drill carefully. They don't want to spoil what they're about to bring, yet they don't want to damage the land. That is the approach of study for the Old Testament. So you must go there with the right tool. Like a surgeon, you are going to bring out that Christ from their saying. So their saying becomes the pregnant woman's womb. Christ the Son becomes the Fuetos you want to bring us. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? But the moment you start approaching the Old Testament like a hoodlum, and you are bringing out different theories and different jargons from it, you are like that person that took armor, sledgehammer for surgery. How foolish is that? Amen. Where are we? So, we said, in their writings, at different times and diverse, methods, and different ages, what were they all talking about? Eh? The Son. Have you? So, you hold that one somewhere. That is their anti-contradiction. That is their harmony. If every prophet spoke about the Son, forget every other thing that contradicts. Stick to that one that they spoke about. Then your contradictions begin to make sense. It begins to zero in. Why? Because you have a single focus. I'm trying to talk to you sometimes. But as we go on, we'll get there. So, we said, every prophet spoke about the Son. Albeit different methods, at different times, but what was in their hearts? Eh? The Son of God. So that means, as you are reading Genesis, through to Malachi, the Son of God is their aim. Every prophet seeks to show you Jesus, the Son. Genesis shows you the Son. He calls him the tree of life. He calls him the helper. Exodus show you the one who delivered them from Egypt. Leviticus is about service to him. Numbers is about unbelief in him. Deuteronomy is about the second chance he gives. Same with Jonah. Jonah is second chance. Jonah is another Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Joshua, Judges, they were about getting to that promised land. It's still about the Son. Ruth was to show you God's plan and His love. Samuel was to show you that God is King and His plan for His special nation, which is now the new creation. The Kings and the Chronicles was to document to you the genealogy of the seed of the woman. Are you getting me? Ezra, Nehemiah, they will come together to preach to God's people that you see, this temple will become human. God will not come to us. That was Ezra and Nehemiah. The Psalms talk about His help. The Proverbs call us His son. My son. That's Israel. Amen? You must not lose touch that they all have a single harmony. Christ the Son. That's why Paul will now come and say, if you properly see it, you will see that they all spoke about salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Salvation through faith, soteria et pisteo en Christos Jesus. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That was the common thread. That was the harmony. You can go on and on and on. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon proclaim His love. Ecclesiastes talk about the vanity of life. And how you ought to now focus on Him. Says the preacher. Isaiah, come on. Spoke about the virgin birth. Spoke about the help of God. Spoke about His mighty work. Jeremiah was crying to the people to believe Isaiah. To believe Moses. Ezekiel did the same. He said, a new heart and new spirit will I give to you. The promise of old. Still proclaiming it in diverse manner. At a different time. Does that make sense? Jeremiah kept lamenting. That's what you have as lamentation. You have the minor prophets. Nahum, Habakkuk, Micah. They all kept mentioning of he that comes to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Every prophet mentioned it. Every prophet mentioned that Israel, listen, the Lord is your help. Every prophet mentioned it. That is, there's one to come who you will have to believe. So a single line of thought runs through every prophet from Genesis to Malachi. And that was about Christ the Son. Hebrews tells you that. That's why Jesus will come in John chapter 5 verse 39 to 46 and says, you will not come to me that you might have eternal life. The scriptures speak of me. He says, if you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. John 5:46. So again, while you might not see the name Jesus, he is embedded in their writings. Every prophet spoke about the Son. Learn something? Back to 2 Timothy 3. Verse 15, that's where we're coming from. From a child thou hast known those that, where is it? The word known means to what? I didn't appreciate the deal. Eh? To properly see. Thank you. To properly see something for what it is. You know, when you, the people who appreciate gold are good, I know that it's gold. Me, I don't know gold though. If you give me gold, I can just, I don't know gold. Amen? I remember I was on campus, there was a lady like that. I was reading in the radiography hall. That one that's close to College Gates. You know radiography hall? That one that is close to that College Gates. I was reading that big hall, and one lady was just using a MacBook Pro. I think that was 2017. MacBook Pro 2017. That year old. I was using to watch film. I was using a HP Compact. That compact, if you carry it, you will grow muscle. You know, that's watching. That is anti-Edo. She doesn't appreciate it. No, I'm not saying she doesn't appreciate it. But if you give it to me, I'll pray for you. You get? Because I know what it is to me. Now, if you give me a diamond necklace, or gold necklace, whatever is made up of, the truth is I will not appreciate it. Necklace. I'm not a lady. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how to use necklace. I have no issue with guys that use it. I have no issues. Amen. But I stopped him some time ago. That's when I stopped everybody. I just do not like it on him. And he's my boyfriend. Amen. Is it amen? You give me that, and you tell me, oh, okay, me. I don't know how much it is. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I don't. Appreciate means I do. Appreciate means I see it for what it is. I don't see it for what it is at all. I see it as sold. I'm not going to keep it for years to remember. I'm not going to. As you are going and pouring into the market. The person you got it from is going to buy it back. Amen. But you give me something else, I will see it for what it is. Paul says, when you see the Bible for what it is, you will come out smart. So, Pizzo, you will come out wise. You will come out someone that can be able to put things together about salvation. So if I don't see it yet, then I'm not properly seeing. If I don't see salvation, then I'm not properly seeing the scripture for what it is. I get what I'm saying? So it says, it's about salvation. The word soteria. S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Oh, I think it was in salvation through faith that we looked at. Sota Christos. 3B, have you? So, I've always said it over the years that salvation through faith and the prophet go, I've always said it. They are twins. So, you just carry both. Hopefully, I believe God in some years we'll have each textbook. So that you can always just have volume 1, volume 2, volume 3. So volume 1, volume 1, I'll be purple. Amen. You buy now? There you go, don't need choice. Salvation, soteria. S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Soteria. So, we said that is, so we said the Bible is a book of salvation. Soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. It means to deliver. To rescue. So, Paul is saying Genesis to Malachi is the story of rescue. Let me ask this question. You know, on the surface, you don't see that. You just see people going to farm and coming back. And they went to one mountain. And they went from Red Sea, went to the wilderness. And Paul says, look at Genesis to Malachi and all the story. He said, they are screaming out one thing, rescue, deliverance. So if they ask you what is the Bible, you can say, summatively, it is the book of rescue. So rescue means, don't forget, we said by saying soteria, salvation, deliverance, then you have two people. Two people will be the deliverer and the delivered. I cannot say there's a deliverance without someone who is delivering and without someone who is being delivered. Come on. Right? Just like I cannot say there is singing without a singer and a song. Right? I cannot say he is teaching. Pastor is teaching. Without a teacher and one who is being taught. You did teach yourself. So you just stand in front of mirror. Hear the word of the Lord. So in 2 Timothy 3:15, if you record yourself, you discover that, amen, you can't teach yourself. Of course, you can learn things. But what I'm saying is that you cannot be the teacher and the student. Selah. So, by saying salvation, that means we are going to have the Savior and the... Thank you. Sorry, are you the saved? Huh? Okay, some of you are not, yeah? Are you the saved? Alright. We are going to have the Savior and the saint. Let's put it now in modern day English. We are going to have, if it's rescued, then we are going to have the... and the rescued. Okay? Obviously, we are deliverance. Now we are going to have the deliverer and the delivered. Interesting. So, can we put it like this? That Genesis to Malachi is a story of the deliverer and the delivered. From a child, you have known the Holy Spirit, which is able to make you wise to see the deliverer and the delivered. Which is able to make you wise to see the deliverer and the delivered. So, we said the summary of the Bible will be the story of God's help for humanity. The story of God's help for humanity. And Paul is saying, that is the dialect of the prophets. Don't forget where I'm coming from, that birthed this teaching. In Acts 13, Acts 13. The background is that Paul went to the temple, like we all should, and when he was done teaching, like self-fellowship, or house fellowship, he said, anyone who wants to add something, I remember when I was young, there was one brother that used to add something to house fellowship, he used to say nonsense. They used to try and stop him. You know this kind of shameful stuff. Yeah, bro. Hallelujah. And he will not stop. He's bent on saying what he will say. What I learned though, I don't know about what they have been teaching since morning. How can you say you don't know about what they have been teaching since morning? And you say what you learned. I almost mentioned his name. And he said, I don't know about what, sir, what you have been teaching since morning. In fact, sometimes I zoned up, but I learned something. Mike Besson means I will revenge. That's the exact opposite of what he just thought. But that brother, he said, Mike Besson. Explicate Mike Besson. Who are Mike Besson? How are not Mike Besson? I know. I can't forget that one particular Sunday at Mama Gulari's house. So the same thing, they asked Paul, what do you want to say? And Paul started teaching. Then in verse 26, he said, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whatsoever among you that fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Can we read verse 27 together? For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they fulfilled them in condemn. He said, they did not know the voices of the prophet, the dialects. The language of the prophet. So, there is something as the language of the prophet. Don't forget, at different times and at, with different methods, they all spoke about, eh? Now, that's Hebrews 1, Abby. Let's do 2 Timothy 3:15. At different times and diverse manners, they all spoke about, thank you. They all spoke about the deliverer and deceiver. Does that make sense? Then Paul says, it is in their dialect. That is, as you listen to the voices of the prophet, you will see the deliverer and the deliverer. And they must have been, in that temple, they must have been looking, ah, the deliverer. He's not here. Who is the deliverer in Genesis? Who is the deliverer in the Exodus? Oh, deliverer in the Exodus, ah, God delivered them, God delivered them. That one, you know, that one is clear. Have you? A famous theologian would say, I love him so much. He said, the Exodus is the clearest representation of God's plan. I think that's true. In the entire Bible, it is the clearest. Because you literally saw the deliverer. Okay? That's it. So, we said, in the dialect of the prophets, what will you see again? According to 2 Timothy 3:15. The deliverer and the deliverer. Does that make sense? Now go to Genesis. Don't forget what we are looking at. The dialect of the prophet, the great power of God. That's what we're looking at. But we're just laying foundation. So that by next week when we kick off, next week, when we kick off, we'll start to answer some questions and it's going to be very clear. It's not that serious. Genesis 2. The deliverer and the delivered. I said I was going to talk about this on Sunday. I'll still repeat it on Sunday again. But for the sake of this teaching, it's very important. Genesis 2. Verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam, to see what he would call them. And Adam called every living creature, and that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl there, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam was not found an helpmeet for him. Adam gave names to all the cattle, but he had no name, something like that. So if you're not careful, you'll be thinking he's talking about calling it lion and calling it tiger. But that's not what Moses is saying. What he say, as he is naming, there's no helpmeet for him. And of course, funny enough, postmodern people have thought that the helpmeet is the wife. But if you look at it very well, there is no mention of wife. Now, what comes after is the deceiver. What comes after is, sorry, I'm not saying that the devil, I'm saying the deceptive text is what comes after. Because immediately there was no helpmeet for him, God now caused Adam to sleep, which we have looked at. Abi? Series, what, I don't know. Sincerely, I don't know the series. We are in 6 now. I don't know, maybe 3, maybe 2. Now, God caused Adam to sleep. And then from Adam formed Eve. Then Adam called, I want to say Adam called him, but Adam called a woman, for she was formed out of man. He's womb man. Get out. A man with a womb. Shut up. Your nonsense will tire you. Form woman. So, because of that, oftentimes, because you say, oh, there was no final helpmeet for him, then God made the woman. Then the woman must be the helpmeet. No. We've explained this before, in previous texts. We are going to look at that helpmeet first, and then we'll progress it from there. Because the helpmeet is a deliverer. Yeah, we are going to that. The word helpmeet is the word Ezar. It's spelled with it starts with an apostrophe. Apostrophe E-Z-E-R. Z for zebra. E-Z-E-R. He's a mighty man. When they help me. Help is a mighty man. Someone who wars. Who goes to war. Let's put it further. He's a mighty man of war. Someone that can rescue. I'm not giving definition. That is the meaning of help me in the Hebrew. Now, the question happens. Do you think that is him? If it was, she did not live up to it. Because she did not even war with the serpent that was in her front. If it was in her front. And not in her head. Exact 21 times in Hebrew. Is that a prophet though? That means there are things that will just be thrown. Yours is to quickly put it down. And by the end of the teaching, you'll be able to bring your question marks to ground. Is that a prophet? Nobody is going to start telling you what to write. I just said something very salient now. You find it in Genesis 2:20. Where we just read. For Adam there was no helpmeet. You find in Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. I will make him an helpmeet for him. One of the things we look at is the alone. It's a motif of the Old Testament. It is not good to be alone. In fact, Isaiah made this one very clear. By the time we get to Isaiah. Because we are going to be looking at the helper and the deliverer in all their work. Don't forget, everybody spoke about the deliverer and the deliverer. Sorry, who is the deliverer again? According to Genesis. The mighty man of war. And you will like him. And his war. So, I will make him an helpmeet. I will make him, let's put it modern day in English, a mighty man of war. Why? Because it is not good that he is alone. And like every Moses, listen very well. Don't forget this is series 6. So that means that a lot of things are said in years gone by. If you are looking at how many tracks we have all together, the Daniel prophet, over 30. So that means I've taught like this over 30 times. It's recorded, fortunately for you. So you need to go and get. Now, don't forget, we have spoken about the duality in the tone of Moses. Agree not? Okay, we'll say it was in the duality. How Moses was double-edged in his tongue. He will speak about the physical and the spiritual in one breath. Yes or no? Moses will say, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And that Genesis 1:1 alone alludes to both the creation of the world and alludes to the new creation. Yes or yes? And I think in the beginning we saw that Bereshit. Right? The Reshit, you ever get? That beginning in the firstborn. So, the beginning will both be a time and will also be a person. In fact, which one carries more authority? The person. In that beginning, we saw Jacob use it for Reuben. You are my beginning. Reuben, thou art the beginning of my strength. Thou art my Genesis. Thou art my Reshit. So you use it for the firstborn. Moses opens up the Bible with that. That in the firstborn, God brought heaven and earth together. That is the temple of Moses. That is the new creation. That is the incarnation of Christ. That is the way he opens up the Bible. In that firstborn. In that beginning. We studied this last year. Spiritual growth. Go and listen to the spiritual growth 2022. In the beginning of it, now, listen to me very well, calm down. That beginning, is he also talking about natural, creation? Did God create the world? Yes. But don't forget, all scripture is written for what? So which one takes preeminence? Salvation. So while you are there, thinking that the man is writing about how God created the stars, he's telling you, he says, and darkness was all over the place.
Now, the truth is, that cannot be an oral account. Nobody told him that. God told him that. Because how can your great grandpa come and tell you that darkness was all over the place? Where were you standing? Abi? If you ask, is there, darkness was all over the place. The Spirit of God was over there. Where were you now? Were you going with the Spirit of God? It was marking you. Amen? So, that is not an oral tradition. That is a spirit account. In the beginning of created, then the earth was without form and void. No, no, God created heaven and the earth. How can God's earth be dark? That, calm down. You are talking too much for someone who doesn't know what he's saying. Is he telling you about the creation of the world? Hell no! If he is, why would he say, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And yet, the sun was made later. And the moon. So what is the light he was talking about? Again, the writer is already telling you, this is the chemistry textbook. Come on. In our, let's be in inverted commas. Abi? Give us answer. He's already telling you, this is a chemistry textbook. This is a salvation textbook. Amen. There's a light that is not the sun. So, you have both the spirit account and the natural account. Did God make the sun, the moon, and the stars? Yes. But have we seen the spirit account of the sun and the moon? Come on. Have we seen that? We've seen the greater light and the lesser light. Is that the prophet?
So we spoke about that duality in Moses' writing, where he has a spirit account, and yet he is you are seeing what he's talking about. And he's telling you, it's more than that too. You are seeing the sun and the moon, and he's telling you, there is more to it. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? And he did the same with Adam. And he's not the only one that did it. Paul did it too. Paul used Adam for Christ. Yes or no? He called him the second Adam, then he called him the last Adam. So, it's a Jesus Moses thing. Paul used Adam for Christ. So the last Adam is the Lord of all. There's an Adam, the second Adam is Christ in his incarnation, then the last Adam is Christ in his resurrection. We've spoken about that before. Right? Last Adam is Christ in his resurrection. They said that is the Gapata. Moses is the first person to do that. Observe what he did. Look at it all. Don't forget we are looking at the exact, the deliverer. Adam is alone. He must die. Is that not what happens? He caused him to sleep. That's a Moses die statement now. Come on. You must be thinking. Put on your thinking caps. We look at it on Sunday now. Sleep. Die. Now. It's not good for him alone. Is that, who does that sound like? Christ. Except a seed falls down and die. It abides alone. Did Jesus not say it? Did he say it or not? I'm 4 minutes. Except a seed falls down and die. He abides alone. He said, but when he enters the earth, he brings forth much fruit. That is Genesis. It is not good that he's alone. So what will happen? He will die. And then in his death, he will find the bride. So what did Moses just do to you in Genesis 2? He just showed you God's plan in the resurrection. When Jesus dies, the church will come from him. And that's why we say we are his body. We are his body is a Genesis saying. When it says we are his body, what do you think it means? It means you are taken out of him. Just like Eve. So, is he giving you, listen very well, is he giving you a spirit account? Huh? Yeah. Is he also giving a physical account of the Adam that was there? Yes. He says, Adam has no help. And we now say to Jesus, an Ezar. He has no help. He has no mighty man of war. So, the duality is taking place right there, and except you are a proper student of the Bible, you might miss out on it. How many of you just say what just happened? He is talking in two breaths, and in all at once, the same way he did Genesis 1:1, the same way he would talk about the entire creation, the firmament, the same way he would say, let us make man in our own image. And you would think he's talking about Adam. And talking about incarnation. Yes, talking about Adam. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's speaking about the incarnation, yet talking about Adam. And he said, let them be fruitful and multiply. and replenish the earth. He's talking to Adam and he's talking about the new creation. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Let be fruitful and multiply. Is that talking to humans? Yes. Is that actually about the man in Christ, how that he meant to take the seed of the word and take it to the world, the seed which is the word of God, and then be fruitful with it? Yes. But the duality must take place in Moses. It is the genesis of prophets. So it will give you both the physical account and the spiritual account. And except you are a good reader, you might not be able to find out. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people struggle with Genesis. Because they don't even know how he wrote. I've told you before, you must look at the writer and look at the form of their writing. Every writing has a form. And so, Moses comes and says, there is no mighty man for Adam. I'll give him one. And we said that word Ezar is what? A mighty man of war, the one that can rescue. Let's look at the way it's used. Exodus 18. You've got to be fast now. Exodus 18 verse 4. Verse 3 says, and her two sons, that is, Zipporah, Moses' wife. So Moses had children, and they were not wayward. He named one Geshem. And he said, I am an alien in a strange land. Is that theology? Come on. Is that theology? Very well. That is what Paul will now call the light affliction that is for a moment. That's what Hebrews will say. Abraham saw himself as a stranger and pilgrim in the earth. Moses said, called his son Geshem. I am a stranger in a strange land. Come on. Will you not think he's talking about Egypt? Because Pharaoh is in context. You would think he's talking about Egypt, yet there's a spiritual perspective. So he called him and said in verse 4. Then the other one, he named him Eliezer. You can see the Ezer in it. El Ezer. So when you say El is what? God, Abi? El Elyon? El? El Shaddai? Or El Shaddai? Alright, so again, El is God, Eliezer. For the God of my father, He what? Delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Let me ask you a question. Did Pharaoh draw a sword? Not once. You know, that was one of the things, I love Pastor Chris Oyakhilome said some years ago, like 2009, 2010, I was listening to a CD. A disc from him. And he said, you know something? That of all the miracles that Moses did, the one that amused him was Pharaoh never thought of killing him every time he entered the palace. You know, he have just shut the door. I said, now you they cause plague and everything. If you can go out, that you do miracles, let them kill you. It never occurred to Pharaoh's mind. But look at how Moses wrote it. The Lord was my help. Eliezer. He delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Are you seeing the Ezer now? So when you use Ezer, Ezer is not for someone that is using lipstick. Can I have an amen? Ezer on what Brazilian wig? Ezer. Ezer is someone that can deliver from the sword of Pharaoh. If it was the woman, Moses' mother would have done it. If the woman was the helper, Moses' sister, Miriam, would have done it. But no. The Lord, my God, is my help. El Ezer. So, we are going to look at the way that word help meet is used. Ezer. Throughout. And you will see that there's no one time. I'm saying again. There's no one time it's used for a woman. It is used for God. It's also not used for man. I'm a misogynist or whatever. It's for God. That's, you've seen Exodus 18:4, right? Come on, have you seen that? Deuteronomy 33. You hear me something? Deuteronomy 33. Verse 6. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear Lord the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hand be sufficient for him, and be thou an help. Hear, Lord, be thou an help to him from... So whenever you use the help meet, who is in view? There's an enemy. For Moses, it was Pharaoh. For Judah, he says, deliver him, be an help from his enemies. So you cannot use an helpmeet without an enemy. In the Genesis story, who was the enemy? Huh? Say it now. The serpent. Say it as like a Christian. Ah. The devil. Thank you. The wicked one. The evil one. The serpent. Are you getting it? So when he says, let us make an help meet for him. Who was in view? Because of sin. Because of damnation. Man will require a deliverer. An Ezra. Let's go beyond Deuteronomy. Or let's look at verse 26. Deuteronomy 33. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Jeshurun was a place. Who rise upon the heaven in your help. And in his excellency on the sky. The God in Jeshurun. What does he do? He rides upon the heaven in his help. In his Ezar. So the moment you use Ezar, who is he tracing it to? Ah, come on. Who is he tracing it to? God. Deuteronomy 33 verse 29. Let's read this one together. Once we go. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? O people saved by the Lord. Thy shield of your... And who is the sword of your excellency? Your enemies shall be found liars unto thee. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. Your enemies. Don't forget again, the consistent theme about the helpmeet is that there will be the enemy. But mark this one. This is Deuteronomy 33:29. Put it on your left hand. In fact, you can write it very boldly. Because we are coming back to it. Happy are you, O Israel. Why Israel? And we'll see how this plays out in the war. In their battles. So Israel will go to battle. And you wonder, why is God supporting Israel and not supporting Philistine? Have you wondered that in the Bible before? Why God is supporting these ones and is killing these ones? Which kind of God is this one? Well, it was the help to Israel. And we'll see why. Why Israel? And why the war? We'll see. Let's go on. Ezra. Are you still there? Psalm 20. 11 times in the Psalms alone. We find the word Ezar. In Psalm 20, verse 1, the Lord hear you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. Send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Remember all your offerings. I said the burnt sacrifice. Grant unto you your own and of your counsel. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of the Lord, we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all your petitions. He will send you help. Verse 2. From his sanctuary. He will send you help. So far, we have not found where it is used for the woman. Psalm 33. I know you want your wife to be your helpmeet so bad. But it's okay. It's okay. Except she's a soldier. Or Dagulabi. Or Udlom. I can save you from trouble. Just kidding. The woman is not the help. Psalm 33. Verse 18. Always observe this, the theme around the help. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Upon them that hope in his mercy. To deliver their soul from... Who will deliver their soul from death? The moment you mention deliver, sorry, who does your mind go to? Eh? God, the Ezra, from whose statement? Paul, the deliverer. Abi? No, don't forget, the writer of Hebrews also does that. This deliverer, you will see him in all the books. He said, you will see him in all the writings. Now, David is telling us. He says, he will deliver their soul from death to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for who? Eve. Huh? Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our Ezar and our shield. He is our help and our shield. He is our help and our shield. So far, who is the helper? Huh? So when he says, it's not good for man to be alone. Let us make for him help. Is that Eve or a statement of the incarnation? Some of you already know how I used to answer, ask my question. I will change it one day. Is that the theory of incarnation or Eve? What Eve of incarnation? Alright, let's move on. Where are we now? Psalm 3. Psalm 78. Psalm 78.
Sorry.
Psalm 70. Not 78. 70. Let all who seek, verse 4, let all those that seek you rejoice and be glad in you. There's a song like that. And let such as love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Can we read verse 5 together? But I'm poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. You are my help and my... O God, make no... Is that a cry for the incarnation? Eh? Make haste. There's all the prophet wanted Christ to come when they were there, especially David. He said, come to me. Let me see your face. David was, I won't say selfish, but he wanted it to happen. He said, make haste. Come to me, O Lord. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my help and my deliverer. A statement of salvation. Soteria. Deliverance. He says, that help meet is God. There is no other place where it is, where help meet is used and is used for man. It's always a deity, a man of war that can rescue from the enemy. El Ezra. Psalm 89. Verse 19. I'll start from verse 17. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our own shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. This is a king talking, you know. Of course, through Ethan, one of his psalmists. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Come verse 19 together. And said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of people. Amen. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have found David my servant. With the holy oil have I anointed him. Psalm 115, verse 9. The Holy One of Israel is our defense. Say, the Lord is my help. He will save me. He will deliver. He will protect. The Lord is my helpmate. I'm not defenseless. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 115. Can we verse 9 together? O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Is this the preaching of the gospel? Let me say this one. Was this what God told Adam? Trust in the Lord. He's your help. Eh? So, the message did not change. The same help that God introduced to Adam, David is still saying it. Israel, trust in the Lord. He's your helper. And they understood that he wasn't talking about the woman. They understood that it means when the enemy shall come, when they shall rise up like a flood, the Lord is your help. Are you there? Verse 10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is your help and shield. Verse 11. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Amen. He's my help. Psalm 121, one of the most famous ones. Verse 1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where will my help come from? My help will come from my woman. My help will come from my sweetheart. Honey. Babe. Like my pills. Huh? My help will come from who? From Deloitte. My help will come from the Lord. So, again, where does help come from? Eh? From the Lord. Thank you. Verse 2. My help will come from the Lord. He made the heaven and earth. Again, there's some explanation to that. Heaven and earth is always a statement of God's plan. All power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. That is a statement of God's plan in the resurrection. where God and man will be in one place. That's heaven and earth. But he puts that with the helper. My help is in the Lord. He is the one that will bring it to pass. He is the maker of heaven and earth. So can you see that with a careful study of Genesis to Malachi, you will keep seeing God's plan. You will keep seeing it. You will see that thread of faith that runs through them. Except you don't want to properly see. There you go. Psalm 124. Verse 8. Verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Look at that. So, as a prey to their teeth, that means there's an enemy, right? There's an enemy in view. Verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Who made? So, the statement of help is a statement of heaven and earth. You might be looking at it as, oh, it's just, but it's not consistent. The prophet will keep telling you, when you see God's help, you will see heaven and earth. What's heaven and earth again? God's plan and purpose in the earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Psalm 146. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, O my soul. Where I live with... While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praise unto the God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no... That's a definite statement. There's no help in the son of man. Son of man means even daughter of man. Son of man means humankind. So there is no salvation there. There's no help. Don't forget, the help of the prophet is about heaven and earth. The help of the prophet is about God's plan. The help of the prophet is about that deliverance from the wicked one. So is it about providing money for you? Come on. It's about war. It's about fight. Alright, there's no help. Don't put your trust in the Son of Man where there's no help. His breath go forth and returns to his head. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob, that's Israel, the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. He has the God of Jacob for help, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in it, which keeps truth forever. Amen. Amen. The Psalms is one of the best books. That's why Jesus was going to say, if you have read Moses, then the Psalms, then the prophets. That is the hierarchy. Moses, that's Luke 24 verse 44 to 48. Moses, the Psalms, then the prophets. The Psalms are too rich. Confirms to us that there's no help in man. That means there's no help in your wife. How about that? There's no help in your husband too. There's no help in the son and the daughter of man. Help is in the Lord. The God of Jacob. Who made? Thank you. That was the ring. So as we're talking about the deliverer, that mighty man of war, observe the thematic, the motif is heaven and earth. What is in view of his help is heaven and earth. Alright. I'll close on this one. Hosea. Hosea 13. Are ready? Can we read Hosea 13 verse 9 together? Want to go? Oh Israel. Oh Israel, you have destroyed yourself. But in me, who is the me there? In me is your help. So if you go back to that Genesis, the Lord is that mighty man. Let's go back. If you go back to 2 Timothy 3:15, and we look at that salvation and bring it out again. I mean, soteria. Also, you are able to make you wise on salvation. Which you said is the story of both the deliverer and the delivered. Abi? The rescuer and the rescued. The Lord is that deliverer. In me is your help. The God who make the heaven and the earth. Classic statement. So the Lord is that mighty man. Just like Hosea will say 100 years later. God already told Adam the same thing. In me is your help. What was Adam's sin? He rejected it. He said, why have you done this? How did God help Adam? He now told him, there's the tree of life. Of course, that is Moses' writing. The tree of life is personification. How do you call it now? The figure of speech. There's no tree in view. There's no tree that brings life. What God is saying is, eat of life. And I've told you before, eating and drinking are motions of faith. Jesus told them in John 6, after the loaves, the miracles of the loaves and bread. And he said, there's a true bread that comes from heaven, which the Father gives. And everybody that eats of it will never hunger again. And he said, evermore give us this bread. And he said, I am the bread of life. He that eats of me will live forever. So, eating is a motion of faith. He told the woman in John 4, the woman by the well, he said, there's a water I'll give you. It's an everlasting water. If you drink of it, you will thirst no more. You will not need to come here to fetch. He said, give me this water so I don't have to come to fetch. Jesus said, if you believe on me, out of his own belly, of course, will flow rivers of living water. Water that makes alive. So when you say living water, bread of life, tree of life, one and the same person, what will you call that? Polytropos. Eh? In a diverse manner, explaining it. Come on. You get what? I don't get what you're saying now. So, it's just, the bread of life, the tree of life, is just different manners explaining the same, the son. The same person. The same person. So, God told Adam, eat of the tree of life. Is that faith? Come on, is that faith? Is that the show of help? If Adam had done that, he would have seen heaven and earth. But he rejected God's help, and hundreds of years later, Hosea is still saying the same thing. Israel, in God is your help. Hallelujah. That's a statement, that's a preaching of the gospel. So don't forget that Moses will say in Exodus 18:4, Eliezer, Abi, come on, he has delivered me from Pharaoh. He was my help. But look at that deliverance from Pharaoh. As I close. Look at that deliverance from Pharaoh. If God was going to deliver them, the question is, why was it full of blood? And don't say, because without shedding of blood, there's no redemption. That's nonsense. That being DJ. The question is, when I say blood, why did people have to die? People were killed. And the most remarkable one would be, why did children died? And if we say God is good and all of that, why did children have to die? This is our Proverbs 36. We have to answer very, very serious questions. So children died. People who don't know anything about it. And yet, God makes a boast and says, I am the God of Israel. I'm the one who will help. And in that help, people died. People drowned. From the waters to the locusts, to the darkness, to the death, to the drowning. And Moses say, that's God's help for us. But if we don't read well, we might make needless assumptions. Pray for me as I close. And if we make needless assumptions, the truth of God's word will not make impact in our hearts. But that's not us. Amen? We would see clearly, God's word will be clear to us. You know, in the coming days and weeks, we would investigate again. Amen? And we'll look at why did they have to go through all of that? Moses did not even feel remorseful for it. People died. People drowned. In fact, they even sang a song. You know, today we say, no, God does not rejoice in death. Moses, they rejoice in the death. He said, God be, great be the Lord. There is no other God beside you. Pharaoh and his army, where are they? In the sea. And what Moses did is actually an example to us. We actually should sing the same song. Songs of death and deliverance. But we'll see how the song concerns us and where it comes to us. We'll see the death we ought to rejoice in. Amen. Because there's such a death like that. We'll see better as we look at the great power of God, the mighty man of war himself, and his help from age to age, in the wars and in the fights, in the killings and the battles, in his bias. Why Israel? You look at every war, God supports Israel every time. But also if you look at, you see that there are battles that Israel lost. And God boldly will say, because you did not trust in me. We'll see all of that. One by one. As the day star rises in our hearts. I will trust God. I will see clearly. even as we ought to see. You learn something tonight? Share with your neighbor in 2 minutes what you learned.